What are some of the lesser known ministries of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm glad you've joined us. We're in a series called Great Bible Doctrines. We're taking a look at a systematic approach to theology. And right now, we're discussing some of those unknown or maybe lesser known ministries of the Holy Spirit. Let's go right to our discussion today with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus and to our series exploring pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit, which is part of this project that we're undergoing for the next few months of trying to write a book that summarizes the Christian faith. It'll be a concise, systematic theology. It'll be me, Bob, and Ken Yates authoring that. In preparation for our national conference in May 2020, held at the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, the national conference is going to be about the great doctrines of the Bible, and you are warmly welcome to attend. First-timers are free. If you can't afford it, it's free. But if you can afford it, it'll be about $85 for 4 days, which is really good for a conference. I think we're the cheapest conference that I know of.
In the universe.
In the universe.
The cosmos. Okay.
All right. Free is cheaper, but $85 is not bad for 4 days. Well, now we want to talk about other ministries of the Holy Spirit. So far, we've talked about, what have we talked about in this series so far? We've talked about,
well, we talked about spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts. We talked about ribs, not
we
barbecue.
About regeneration, indwelling, baptizing, sealing, all of which occur at the moment of faith. We talked a little bit about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is God, fully God. He's one of the three persons of the Trinity. So we talked about Trinitarianism a little
we
bit.
We did a little bit. I wonder if we need to do a show proving the Holy Spirit really is a person. We did two shows.
Well, since you can grieve him, that's Ephesians 4.
Right.
It seems 4:30 seems like that's obvious that he experiences emotions and he's a person.
That would be a major, major proof text for the personality of the Holy Spirit. We did two shows on the spiritual gifts. We talked about cessationism. We talked about two types of filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, now let's talk about other ministries of the Holy Spirit, beginning with...
Yeah, I've got four suggestions here. There's more, but I have four.
Well, one is prayer.
This is not the ministry of the Holy Spirit praying for us. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit interceding as we pray.
Right.
Jesus prays for us, it seems, independent of our praying. We have some scripture to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Romans chapter 8, Paul says that as we are praying, the Holy Spirit is interceding. Now, when it says with groanings too deep for words, that could refer to the Holy Spirit, but it probably refers to us because obviously the Holy Spirit is articulate, but sometimes we're not.
Well, here's what the text says, Romans 8, 26 and 27.
Yeah.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, first of all, not everyone's good at prayer. I don't know if you've ever been in a group, or I'm in a small group now, and not everybody's comfortable praying out loud. Sometimes they overthink it and they don't even know how to pray.
Yeah, they don't think of praying as simply talking with God. They think of it as some kind of religious experience.
And you need to be very poetic and meaningful in order to be heard by God or something.
Right. You need some kind of special language or something. But no, you don't.
And other people, they get so intimidated by prayer, instead they just kind of read books of prayer out loud. And even other people end up in a routine of always praying the same thing over and over again.
Part of the problem is Jesus said, don't pray long prayers so you can be heard by men. But here in this passage in Romans 8, 26 and 27, I find this very liberating.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to go through some liturgy.
Right.
I don't have to go through some pre-prepared words that I find in a prayer book, or I find them in the five times a day I'm supposed to pray, or I find them on something else. Instead, I am to pray for those things that I'm concerned about, and I know that the Holy Spirit is interceding to the Father. And he's correcting my prayer.
Because we don't always know, as he says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And then the Holy Spirit makes up the difference.
Lately, I've been working on Zane Hodges' commentary on Romans to cut it down from a full-length commentary to a shorter one for our one-volume commentary. as I've been doing that, I've been going through this text for one of them, and I found it very encouraging to be reminded that when I'm praying, I have a lot of friends with cancer, and I pray for them, or a lot of people who are going through various trials, lost loved ones, widows, people who are widowers, people who've lost their children. As I pray for them, I don't always know what to pray.
Right.
So it's good for me to know that if I bring this before the Father, the Holy Spirit is fixing it up the right way, what I should be praying for. I'm just doing my best and leaving it before God.
You know what this reminds me of? You know, in the ancient world where people would practice magic and they had to get the incantation exactly right in order to manipulate the god or the spirit to act the way you want them to act, right? You had to get the pronunciation right. You had to get the words right. You had to just get the formula right. This does away with all of that.
Right.
It just says pray what comes into your mind, and the Holy Spirit's going to make up for it.
And this shows that prayer is relational.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, there's two more here that are interrelated, illumination and teaching.
And so illumination, that means bringing something to light.
For example, there are two places in Luke 24 where God opens the eyes of people to understand the word. One of them is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Chapter 24, in verse 16, it says, "But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." They saw the risen Christ, and their eyes were restrained.
Right. Their hearts were strangely warmed in verses 31 and 32. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And then verse 32, "And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, and while he," notice this, "opened the scriptures to us."
Right. So their eyes were opened as the scriptures were opened.
And Jesus was the one who opened them. Now, this doesn't talk about the Spirit. This talks about Jesus. But then a bit later, we read, "He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures."
Yeah, that's verse 45. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." So again, it's that opening of the understanding. Our understanding isn't always open. It's like that aha moment, right? It's that eureka.
Yeah, basically what illumination is the Holy Spirit opens our understanding. And I believe that occurs as we're studying the Word, reading the Word, praying about it, asking Him to show us. In these two cases in Luke 24, although Jesus is opening their eyes, I believe he's using the Holy Spirit to do it. And then the other is teaching ministry.
Right.
And the teaching ministry is basically that the Spirit of God raises up gifted teachers who teach others the Word of God. Ephesians 4:11 talks about that, pastors and teachers to train people.
One passage that comes to mind when I think about the teaching ministry of the Spirit is in John chapter 14. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says in 14:26, he's promising that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So there you have an example of the Holy Spirit as the teacher. Now, this is probably a special promise to the apostles. That is not necessarily a promise to me and you.
Right. I would say this looks at the writing, especially of the four Gospels, that they had perfect recall of everything that Jesus said and did, but as a result of the Holy Spirit. But it does have application.
Mm-hmm.
Just as he taught them what to write in the New Testament, and that would apply to the epistles as well.
Right.
In the same way, he does instruct us today. Now, he uses gifted people to do that.
Right. And one of the spiritual gifts, by the way, is that of being
teaching.
A teacher,
right.
Which we've gone over in a previous episode. So
right.
The Holy Spirit, one of his ministries is teaching and raising up teachers. And now, lastly, you have leading. Now, the leading of the Spirit. Now, this is going to be a hot topic, and probably people are going to disagree because people love to think that, you know, every kind of notion that they have is from the Holy Spirit.
Right. A lot of people think that the leading ministry of the Holy Spirit is impressions. And I get an impression to marry this person. I get an impression to take this job. I get an impression to, you know, buy this car, buy this house, whatever. That doesn't seem to be found in Scripture. The examples that people find in Scripture don't really teach that. For example, Paul and Barnabas were sometimes directed by the Holy Spirit. They were forbidden to go to a particular city, or they were guided to go to a different city, but that was always by special revelation.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, by special revelation, I mean they either had a vision or they actually heard a word from God.
Okay.
But it wasn't just, Well, I think we shouldn't go to Troas. I think instead we ought to go to Philippi. No.
So the Spirit led them not by an impression but by a prophetic word or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So what about like the Council of Jerusalem when they were trying to figure out what to do with the Gentiles and they said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and it seemed good to us too.
Right. This was a wise action they took.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't mean that this was somehow some kind of impression. Untold damage has been done by people who married on the basis of an impression.
Right.
And then they later get a divorce with a new impression. Right?
Yeah.
Or they take a job with an impression, and then they end up quitting that job because they realize, oops, that's not so good.
Right.
We should not make decisions based on impressions. We should make decisions based on the Word of God
mm-hmm.
and the principles found in the Word of God, and we do the things which we believe brings most glory to God. So here's a good quote from Zane Hodges, and I guess we'll wrap up with this. He's talking about Romans 8:14, which says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And he says, here the larger context suggests a life in conformity to the revealed will of God as found in his word. In such a life, the righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled in the believer who walks in relation to the Spirit.
So let me summarize here. There's at least four other ministries of the Holy Spirit. One, the Holy Spirit illuminates. He opens up your understanding. He opens up the Scripture to you so that you would understand and believe the Word of God. Secondly, and this is related to the first one, he teaches us. He taught the apostles. He brought things to their remembrance. And he raises up teachers to teach you the Word of God so your mind could be renewed. Three, he helps you when you're praying. When you don't know what to pray for, just pray from the heart. Talk to your Father, and it doesn't matter if you don't have all the right words, because the Holy Spirit is going to intercede for you, correcting the mistakes that you're making. And fourthly, the Holy Spirit leads us, not through impressions, but through the Word of God and applying it to our lives. If you've enjoyed learning about the Holy Spirit, then definitely stay tuned as we go through the other great doctrines of the Bible.
And next up is Christology.
Thanks, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Next time on the program, we're going to talk about the hypostatic union. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.